let's pray again, and then I'm going to get directly into this teaching. So, Father, we thank you for what we're experiencing in your presence. We thank you for the peace and the moving of how Holy Spirit is moving and hovering and gently stirring in this space. We thank you for the stirring that's in the atmosphere. We thank you for the stirring that's in our spirits. And we thank you for the ability to discern the stirring and to receive and draw from it. And so, Father, as we get into your word, we thank you that we have the ears to hear, the eyes to see. We thank you, Father, for what you are speaking to us that will help us to continue to walk out the breakthrough that you've done and are continuing to execute in our lives. And so we bless you for it now, giving you glory in advance for signs, wonders, and miracles that occur as a result of this word. We thank you for divine intervention as a result of this word. We expect it, we look for it, and we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Hallelujah. So what I really got the sense of is that we needed to camp in this place of follow through. You know, Apostle was talking about last week about how we hear a lot about breakthrough. We do a lot of shouting about breakthrough. We hear songs about breakthrough. There's a lot about breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. But there's very little discussion, teaching on follow through. And God has never designed us to live from encounter to encounter and never having those encounters take us to the next space in him. There, we all know people who get prophetic word after prophetic word after prophetic word, and it never translates in their lives. Not because the word wasn't accurate, but because there had to be a posture and a follow-through. Because some prophetic words do require, well, all of them require a certain posture, but some require, may require some type of follow-through. And we know of people who have received healing, and then later they start dealing with the symptoms again. We know people who have been delivered, you know, from demons, demonic oppression, possession, demonic seeds, all those things that get uprooted, cast a demon out, and then they come back worse. We know people who've been free from different type of substance abuse, entanglements, bad decisions. They get back into it. We know people who've gotten out of debt, been like, I'm debt free. I believe God. I'm debt free. He just made it happen. And then all of a sudden, they back in debt. So the thing that is needed is follow through to steward and maintain what God is doing. And we're never meant to see breakthrough can be viewed in two different ways. Some people view it as like this constant thing that needs to happen because we keep needing to be freed from something. But another perspective on breakthrough is not the continuous need to be free, but the continuous forward momentum. Because every time you advance, it's a breakthrough. And so, you know, Apostle read something similar to that, and Pastor Arnez also shared last week about follow through. And follow through brings instruction. And so I believe that follow through is the connector between destiny revealed and destiny fulfilled. Follow through is the connector between your destiny being revealed to you and you knowing what God has in store versus you walking in the fulfillment of it. Follow through requires obedience to God's instructions exactly the way he's given them. And there cannot be a mixture of God's instructions with our own way of doing things. You know, prophetically, back in December, Pastor Deborah Merritt was here, and she talked about the release of the glory and the wisdom and how we had to avoid the unholy mixture of the world's wisdom with the wisdom of God. And so we see that, and we see that propensity to do that. I was in a conversation on Friday with a gentleman who owns a business, and he's a believer. And he was telling me about how he uses artificial intelligence for his business. And I'm interested. I'm like, cool, that seems very nice. One thing he said, though, that gave me a check in my spirit is he said he created, you know, you can create what's called an AI agent. You can talk to this thing. It could talk to you, give you counsel, give you advice, that kind of thing. So he said he created a board of directors of AI agents for his business and modeled them after successful people in the world like Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, those kind of things, to give him advice and strategy about growing his business. Now, part of me was so curious, I was like, what prompt did you use to create that? I'm like, wait a minute, what did you do to do that? But then the other part of me was like, flag on the play. Because why do you want a council of artificial intelligence pulling from the intelligence of the world when God has given you the counselor, Holy Spirit, who pulls divine intelligence from heaven? And as kingdom people, we bring kingdom solution, and kingdom solution does not originate in the earth. Kingdom solution originates from heaven, then impacts the earth as we implement it, execute it. So then after I got stirred, the Lord told me to give him a scripture. So I began to give him a scripture and be prophetic in the marketplace like we all are. And so I gave him the scripture in Isaiah where it says, the Lord teaches us to profit and leads us in the way that we should go. So I said, you want to grow your business, you need to seek God, because it clearly says he would teach you to profit. And that word profit is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T, the same word we see in business. It wasn't talking about prophesying. He was going to teach us how to generate revenue. And so I said, this is the counselor that you need. And so we have to be very careful of this mixture that would try to impact our ability to follow through. There is a thing that I was looking at the other day that talks about how the word can be diluted. It can be diluted by someone adding to it, taking away from it, or altering it. When God gives instructions, we don't want to add, we don't want to subtract, nor do we want to alter. Because seducing spirits have been released. We know that as according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the last days, some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. A lot of people think the doctrines of demons is just something outright that's going to be something super in your face, super demonic, like, you know, whatever, that other stuff. It is that, but it's also something subtle. Because seducing spirits would try to get you to alter the instruction God gave you. We saw that with the serpent in the garden. Did God really say? And we also saw that with Abraham and Sarah. When Sarah said, she did a cultural thing. Because back in that, when Sarah said, take Hagar to be wife, and then maybe that's how God will cause the promise of the promised son to be born. It was cultural that when a woman had a servant, she could give the female servant to the husband, and the child born would be considered her child. So it wasn't like she was doing something super wrong, even though it's not culturally acceptable today. But what was happening was she was looking at the culture and the world's way of doing something and trying to apply that to receive a promise from God. And so those alternative ways of accomplishing what God has for us are not actually an alternative. They lead to bondage. And they cause people to be away from destiny when they could think they're fulfilling destiny. There are no alternatives to walking by faith. There are no alternatives to following the direction the way God has told you to and doing it the way he's told you to and not deviating until he tells you to. Because here's the thing about consistency. Consistency helps us to stay in alignment. And sometimes we may get impatient because it seems like we're doing the thing that God has said and we're not seeing the results in the natural yet. So we think, maybe I need to adjust my strategy. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I need to, you know, do this other thing. Sometimes we think, maybe I just need to, because I can't just sit here and do nothing because things aren't getting better. Maybe the maybe is not what you should be doing. Maybe it's the waiting in faith and continuing to be consistent. This is what Apostle and what we teach in this house about the consistency of faith. It says the consistency of faith will ultimately produce progressive growth that will lead to new levels, dimensions, and realms of faith that will allow you to access the seemingly unimaginable, the seemingly unbelievable, in order to apprehend the seemingly unattainable. It's the consistency of faith that causes us to apprehend, causes us to receive, causes us to steward the breakthrough. Say breakthrough. This is why in Joshua 1, God told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. See, meditating on the word day and night will keep you in a place of consistency of faith, keep you in following through on God's instructions, and sharpen your discernment so you don't deviate when you hear all these contrary voices. And some of those contrary voices may even be your own. Because you may be telling yourself you should be doing a thing and God didn't tell you to do a thing. Because the word is the thing that helps us decipher between the soul and the spirit. Sometimes we can think and feel and believe something so deeply we can think it's Holy Spirit and it could be us. In Galatians 5:1, it tells us to stand fast in the liberty that he's given us. In fact, let me read that one. It says, it is for Galatians 5:1 from the New American Standard. It reads like this. It says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. See, God brings breakthrough, which brings freedom in a certain area. And he gives us this freedom so we can be free in Christ. Whom the Son set free is what? Free indeed. And so it is never God's intention for us to have to deal with that thing again. Breakthrough should bring finality to some matters and should settle some things. And the breakthrough isn't complete until there is finality. And sometimes when people begin to see progress in the area, they think that the work has been completed and then they slack up. And so, but we can't be subject again. We can't submit again. We cannot be, the King James says, entangled again with something upon us that will bring bondage. So how do we keep ourselves from going back to those old ways? We get free, and then we have to make sure we don't go back. Remember, revelation is invitation to speak, live, think, and operate at the higher level. And when you accept that invitation, that new space becomes your new normal. And when that new space becomes your new normal, you operate and live there and walk there with God until he takes you to the next level of faith or the next dimension of glory. Because we go from glory to glory, faith to faith. Because this breakthrough is the reality of God's kingdom and covenant being superimposed over a current reality in the natural. It's when the covenant of God and the kingdom of God superimposes itself over something that's happening in the natural. And everything about our lives or that specific area of our lives comes into greater alignment with God's purposes. So let's look, let me show you why follow through is important, and then we'll look at a couple of examples. Galatians 6:9 says this: let us not lose heart in doing good. King James says, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due time or due season, we will reap if we don't grow weary. That due season, that phrase refers to a Greek word called kairos. It's a divine timing. See, there is a divine timing for everything. And sometimes when we're doing a thing, because in the natural, we don't know exactly when that timing it is. And so that can, that unknown space can produce impatience and the desire to go ahead of God or the desire to lag behind God. One of the things that I'm learning is the fact that God moves in a rhythm. God is like a master musician when I think about it. He moves very rhythmically. And sometimes we can be slothful when the Bible tells us not to, because there can be uncertainty about what we should be doing, how we should be doing it, and when we should be doing it. And so, of course, we do the thing, we pray, we seek God. And then we get this sense of what we should be doing, but then we like, Lord, was that you or was that me? So when it's, is it you or is it me? Then we sit there and we're going to pray again. Lord, give me the answer. Give me the answer. Give me the answer. And then we don't hear anything. So then we start fasting. I'm going to fast because I'm trying to hear from the Lord. But you heard the first time. So you said, give me the answer, and he ain't respond because he already gave you the answer. And you start fasting, and he's like, thank you for ministering unto me with this fast, but I already said it. There's nothing new to say at this point. And so there has to be this place of confidence that we heard God, even when he doesn't speak in a loud or theatrical way. But then we also have to discern. This is why walking with God is so essential. And it's a daily practice. Because you can't walk with the intricacies of God feasting on presence and word once or twice a week. It has to be a 7-day thing. Even when I have to like get up early and rush and go somewhere, I'm at least going to sit quiet for 15 minutes praying in the spirit. Because I don't want to be behind him. I don't want to be out of rhythm. My follow through is based upon a due season, a rhythm that I need to be in with him. I need to be in sync with him. So I need to be tapped in all the time. This posture of praying without ceasing. But I also don't want to go ahead of him because I'm creative. We're creative. We have free will. We can figure stuff out. We can use our brains. We're resourceful. And sometimes all of those great things can work against us because we can go ahead of God. He could be saying, stay right here. And we could be like, well, we can do this, 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 and this, and this. We can unload with ideas, visions, and 1,000 ways to get the things done. And those things may look good. We may even feel good, get the dopamine hit from it. But it may still cause us to not be in rhythm, because now we're ahead. And when a person moves ahead of God, that increases burnout and exhaustion. Because they're doing too many things, they're stretched too thin, they're focused and unfocused simultaneously. So I'm learning that there's a rhythm. And I'm learning that the more I walk with God, the more I don't have to try to position myself for things to happen, the more I recognize that he is positioning us for things to happen to, for, and through us. And so this walk is about obedience. It's like, what did he tell you to do? Do that. And don't stop doing it until he tells you to. Don't start doing anything for God until he tells you to. Because we can want to do things for God, but and if we can do that and God, you know, is glorified, but he's not getting the glory. And there's a big difference between doing something for God and doing something with God. You could do something for God and it not be your assignment. When you do something with God, it's your assignment, and there's the grace and the gifting and the anointing and the glory is there. So this is why we have to be very discerning with follow-through, and we have to maintain breakthrough. We have to maintain advancement. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 43. And we have to maintain what God has spoken and what he does, because breakthrough could look like multiple things in multiple ways. Because, not to be too deep on you, but I do want you to understand this reality. Spiritually, there is no such thing as empty space. In the natural, we can look at something and say, oh, that's empty. You can look at a room with nothing in it and say, that's empty. You can look at a glass with nothing in it and say, that's empty. But in reality, is it really empty? Because even naturally, when something looks empty, there's still air. So it's not empty because air is in that room, just even naturally thinking. But in the realm of the spirit, there's no such thing as empty space. Something is either occupied by God and the kingdom of God, and that, you know, that includes us as his representatives, or is occupied by darkness. There is no middle. Something, everything is inhabited and influenced by something. So if we don't follow through, then that leaves something uninhabited that invites habitation to the domain of darkness. This is why, like, when we're at work and you see a bunch of stuff going on, and you're like, man, this is crazy. It's bananas here. These folks, what would it be like if you wasn't there? We look at the culture of what's happening in the world. What do you think it's going to be like when we're not here, when we're raptured up? And just as a pause, what we're seeing in the world is a fulfillment of Matthew 24, Luke 21, 1 Thessalonians 5. That's a whole nother teaching, but I just want to give you some encouragement. War, threat, talk of war. Some of those things have to happen. Our job is to pray. And then ask the Lord, what's required of us in this moment? But there's one given that we know is required of us, and that given is to win souls. And so then it's like, how do you want me to draw people to you? And so regardless of what's reported, what's not reported, because you know there's things happening behind the scenes that are not reported, regardless of how politics would try to make you feel one side or the other, because I find that both political parties would try to play on your emotions and your values to agree with their agenda. Regardless of all of that, it's like, Lord, what is really happening in the midst of this? Because we know it's spiritual. Not just because it's involving Israel, but because it's spiritual, period. So we know our assignment is to let people see Jesus. Let them encounter Jesus, because the days are short. The framework for the Antichrist system is being put in place already. The scripture says the Antichrist spirit is already in the world. That dude, if I call it that, has been working all along. So this is why it's important for us to maintain and occupy spaces. What did Jesus say when he told the parable? The King James phrases it the best to me, because it says, occupy until I come. So we should be occupying until Jesus comes, until we hear the trumpet, till the dead in Christ rise, and we meet him in the air for the rapture. Until that day, we should be occupying. We shouldn't be so fascinated looking for the Antichrist that we miss looking for Jesus. We shouldn't be so concerned about if they're going to trick me into taking the mark of the beast that we look for Jesus. Because trust me, when it comes that time, one, we won't be here because the rapture happened. But two, it's going to be very plain. Because the Antichrist, the scripture said he's so boastful and prideful, he's going to speak against the things of God. He's going to go into the temple of God in Israel, proclaim himself to be God, and he's going to blaspheme. There's going to be so much pride, it's going to be obvious. He's going to be like, look, take the mark of my name. So trust me, you're not going to be tricked into taking a mark if you use your credit card or if you use AI. So, but this thing of occupying, Matthew 12 and 43 says this. Now, this is talking about deliverance when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, but there is a principle in this that applies to breakthrough, advancement, anything God does in our lives that we receive that causes us to step further into purposes and destiny. There's a principle here that is applicable. So, verse 43. It says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and take along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation. Now, what we see is when something is left unoccupied, when darkness is expelled out of a place or a person in this instance, but when something is left unoccupied, the enemy will try to come back, but then try to bring seven spirits more wicked than itself. Now, when that happens with healing, you pray for somebody, they get healed. Or God heals you, which is your covenant right. Now, if you don't steward and maintain that healing, the enemy would try to whisper that you never got healed. He would try to bring a symptom to you to make you think you didn't get healed. Or he would tell you that didn't work. And if you agree with it, then your agreement allows that thing to manifest. So this is how sometimes you can pray for someone, they get healed, the enemy tells them, oh, you didn't get healed. And they was like, no, I didn't get healed. Then next thing you know, boom, that sickness is right back on them. And it's now worse because they agreed with that thought. And the thought was a suggestion that gave permission for something contrary to what God did to happen. Are you guys following me? Because this thing about faith and agreement is very intricate. Oh yeah, I got three more minutes. I had set my timer. So this thing about faith and agreement is intricate. So when we follow through, we have to be clear on the thoughts that come to our minds to try to make us think that we are the same as we were before we received the breakthrough. Or we heard a word from God and the thought had come, God didn't say that. But yes, he did. And if you start questioning, then now you miss the benefits of what God said. When God gives you peace and heals you of a soul wound, something traumatic happened to your past, God heals you. Now you have peace, you're walking. And then the enemy tries to disrupt that peace through thoughts and suggestions. And if you agree with it, then now you're dealing with something other than the peace that God has given you. And so the follow through, let me give it to you real quick. I actually have 7 minutes because I set my timer for 5 minutes short. So when it goes off, I know I got 5 minutes. And so here's the thing. So we have to be careful because nothing can be unoccupied, meaning that when God gives us breakthrough in whatever areas of our lives, there is something now that has to fill that space to keep us from going back to how we used to be. This is why discipleship is important. This is why studying the word is important and being consistent in it, This is why consistent prayer is important, because we can't be like the ones, and we don't want anyone God sends us to be straight one day, now drama the next, straight one day, drama the next, straight one day, drama the next. See, those life roller coasters can happen when there's no consistency or follow through to the breakthrough. So I'm going to give you really quick three things the Lord told me on how we can steward breakthrough through our follow through. Of course, there was more I could share, but don't have time to share in this moment. Number one is the word. The area of breakthrough that we receive is the area we need to have dedicated study of the word to fill that space. If God healed us from something emotionally, or healed us physically, or whatever the case may be, that area is the area we need to be digging into the word about and allowing our minds to be transformed. We have to renew our minds with the word and by the word in that specific area of breakthrough, which comes not just through reading scripture, but through studying and meditating on it. That's why, again, God told Joshua to meditate on the word. He didn't say read it. He said meditate on it. Meditating goes deeper than reading, because meditating on the word is when you look at this word, you study it, you break it down, you think on it, you ponder it, you say it to yourself. But the world will tell you meditation is clearing your mind. But in a kingdom, biblical meditation is filling your heart and mind with the word. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this: therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Part of follow through is making sure you keep yourself set apart physically, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says, and don't be conformed to this world. Notice it said this world. There is a conformity that can happen, but it's not to this world, it's to the kingdom. It says, but be transformed, go through a metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind. See, when breakthrough happens, now there has to be a mind renewal that aligns with the breakthrough. Because as a person think in their heart, so are they. And of course, I said earlier, don't accept any alternatives. The second thing to allow to steward breakthrough with our follow through is prayer. We have to maintain the posture of prayer. The same posture of prayer and seeking that we use when we were seeking God for breakthrough has to be the same posture that we maintain to steward it. A lot of times we'll pray, and then something happens like, boom, okay, we're done. Let's move on to the next thing. Where we have to continue to pray. And sometimes that's why I highly encourage praying in the Spirit, because sometimes we don't know what else to pray about the thing. It's like, what else could I pray about this thing? I prayed about it 10 different ways. I don't know what else to say. But that's why we can pray in the Spirit, the supernatural language that's available to every believer, in our personal prayer language. Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of the Father according to his will. And so it's not about it's not limited to our knowledge. It's Holy Spirit praying. And that's what causes every detail to work for good. Because sometimes in our natural, we could be praying against a detail that God is using and working for good, because we don't like that detail. And we might not even know we don't like that detail, because it could appear to not be the will of God, and we could be praying not knowing it's what God is using. It's why we must be praying, and praying in the Spirit. We must maintain the posture of prayer, cultivating intimacy with Holy Spirit, and allowing him to continue to speak to us in every area, but especially the area of the breakthrough. Because there are times when we can think the work has been completed, when in fact, Holy Spirit is still completing the work. This is how some people, again, could be healed from something traumatic. And they can be like, oh, the work is done. I'm totally healed. But then you can see traces of it and be like, The last thing is this. Stewarding breakthrough through follow-through is this. Continue the follow-through. We have to walk in obedience. We have to maintain the discipline to continue to follow the instructions that God has given us. And we have to do it from the posture of faith. And we can't shift or adjust until we're directed to. We got to continue to do it. And that's the part that can be challenging. Because we can be like, well, Lord, how long am I going to do this thing? But remember, Jesus is our Lord. Meaning we follow his direction, his instruction, his guidance. We do what he tells us to, when he tells us to do it, how he tells us to do it. It's like when Mary told them dudes at the wedding, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so that's all I have for right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You receive that word. Thank you, Jesus.